Acts 28 is our last chapter in the book of Acts. But don't worry, it's not our last week in the book of Acts. We're not going to do it justice by just rattling through. We're going to, after our next week, we're going to obviously go into Gesmestan, but the week after, we're going to just take some time to reflect on what stood out for us, what's changed in our understanding, and hopefully what's changed in how we live and see and walk in our faith. So even now, start thinking about what you might share. There's going to be a time of testimony. There's going to be a time of prayer and reflection. So that's going to be on the 29th. So yeah, do take some time to think back on this journey. You know, as a church, we've been going through it. I've learned so much about Paul as a person, and I've seen him in different ways to maybe sometimes we look at him, and it's been amazing. Some of the simple things that have stood out for me, but I'm looking forward, and I know that many others, some simple big things have jumped out. So we look forward to recapping, having testimony, praying, and that for us as a church, as we go forward, it's an interesting time. It's a powerful time. It's a time full of potential. And as we look at Acts chapter 28, if you've read it, sometimes you can read it and think that's a funny ending, and we'll get there. It's a bit abrupt, but actually, that's not a negative. I see that as an incredible positive. I see that, and if there was a title for this morning, I would say, the rest is still unwritten. The rest is still unwritten. That's the Natasha Bedingfield song, and I'm going to read a bit of that later on. The rest is still unwritten, and I love that. We've seen this journey. We've seen this gospel advance from Jerusalem. We've seen, it starts, isn't it? Jesus, isn't it? They're waiting in the upper room. You know, this, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And we've seen this gospel advance, and it's advancing to Rome now as we go into 28. And I'm not going to get lost in speculation about what happens after, but this isn't the end, clearly. It doesn't say the end. It does come to an end. It's pretty much thought that Paul did have a fourth missionary journey, that this arrest, we know it was more of a house arrest, but we can see when we look at books and like the prison letters, 1 to Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, we can see a slight change in tone. We can see there's a difference there. And when we look at history, we know that Nero wasn't completely crazy at the start. So Nero was probably in power here. He possibly had a hearing, was released, but then the persecution comes later. But there's lots of stuff on that. We're not going to get lost in that. We're going to deal with what we see and what we have before us. Okay, so last week it was a fantastic share, wasn't it, Rhiannon? Brilliant. What a powerful share, talking about choices, isn't it? Bad choices that people make when we try and take control and do things ourselves, but then good choices when we do what God says. And you know, you've got this character, this Paul, isn't it? This shipwreck, this incredible, difficult situation going on. And in the end, they start listening to him, don't they? Because what he says is true, that there's weight to what he says. So picking it up now. So we could almost end this morning with verse 1 or the first 6 words. After we were brought safely through. Full stop. Amen. that's what we need, isn't it? As a nation, we're experiencing a measure of that right now. But of course, we're now grieving in other areas, isn't it? And COVID is not the problem. COVID is not the world's only problem, as we know. Sin is the world's biggest problem. But you know, there's such reassurance to know, isn't it, that those words, "This too shall pass," after we were brought safely through. You know, God brings them through a shipwreck situation. There was no helicopters. There was no NLRI. There was none of that in those days. You know, these poor fellows, they were literally sink or swim or grab a bit of driftwood. But isn't it amazing that, you know, jokes aside, even the 6 words, there's power there. After we were brought safely through. You know, the people that they were all saved, weren't they? They were brought through. We've got Paul, and again, when I look at the "we," that says to me, I wonder if it makes sense to me that Luke was there, you know, because we see the shift earlier on in Acts. So is Luke with him, the physician? Makes sense if he's writing the book, hey? After we were brought safely through, We then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness. Again, as I was doing my preparation, I stopped there. You know, hey, unusual kindness. That's what we all need, isn't it? Kindness, love in action, unusual kindness. Many of us have had unusual kindness in this season, haven't we? We've gone through different times in life, and we've had unusual kindness, that favor that God brings. And more on that later, I want to share a journey that I've been on recently where somebody showed me some unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it began to rain and was cold. This is practical stuff. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat, fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time, they saw no misfortune come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. So he goes, it's quite comical, isn't it? You know, they look big eyes. You know, there's a snake fastened onto his hand. You know, he can't get it off. This thing is there. They're all waiting for him to drop down dead. They think, gosh, this guy has like survived the sea, but he should, you know, he's obviously a murderer or something savage. But then they change his mind. So from the villain to the hero. I'm not sure if you've ever watched Star Wars. Is it C-3PO? And he's in the Ewok village, you know. And, you know, they're all trying to kill him until, you know, he does something strange and then he becomes a god. So now Paul is like, they think he is a god. Verse 7. Now in the neighborhood of the place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. There's lots of supernatural stuff going on here. Supernatural that reminds me of Jesus and Peter's man, isn't it? You know, that there's that going in, if someone is ill, it's almost like an incidental, but it's a massive thing. This guy is offering hospitality, but there's someone in the cell that his father is sick, you know, and that's a serious thing to have in those days. Not easily cured. Could have been dangerous, could have been deadly. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. See, the healings didn't stop when Jesus went to heaven. There is still healings going on. There is still this Holy Spirit power in action. Verse 10, they all honored us greatly. That's one of our values, behaviors, isn't it? Honoring one another. They all honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. Mm. Hey, let's be honest. They needed that help, didn't they? Because if they've been shipwrecked, you know, I'm not sure if you've ever lost your wallet or your passport or your phone. You know, they couldn't have had a lot, could they? Possibly the clothes on their back and whatever bits and bobs might have floated in. But there's this incredible supernatural provision. But wow, taking a step back, the importance of who the we are in our lives, isn't it? Who do we hang around with? Hey, I want to be with Paul. Now, of course, that's an easy and not so easy thing to say. Good in the sense that you see these incredible provisions, but you may end up in some tricky situations. But you see God working incredibly powerfully. So they're there for a few months on Malta. I presume the weather is better and they set sail. So here we go. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria with the twin gods as a figurehead. Put it in at Syracuse. We stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made the circuit and arrived at Regium. After 1 day, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brothers who invited us to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier that guarded him. A few things to notice there. Good Christian people like Luke reference pubs for directions. So it's okay to use pubs for directions if you're a Christian. Because sometimes we feel bad when we do that, don't we? But look, it's there, isn't it? The three taverns to meet us. So that's a silly joke. But what can we see from this? You know, they arrive in Rome, the brothers, isn't it amazing? The gospel has already spread. Isn't that amazing? See, he's yet to go to Rome, but there are already Christians in the area. Paul isn't the only one doing this discipleship. Paul isn't the only one that's passing on the good news. There are brothers already there. How encouraging is that? How encouraging would that be for Paul? There are brothers already there. On seeing them, where am I? Verse 15, Paul thanked God and took courage. See, take courage. Take courage. We're not on our own. God does put a we in our lives. This morning, we are a we, isn't it? God has put us in a family. We are part of a family. God goes ahead of us. God puts people before us. I'll tell you a bit about that in my story at the end. God can put people ahead of us. And then we go into Paul. He doesn't miss any opportunity. Verse 17. We've got time. And we'll read it. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, "Brothers, though I've done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I've asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of this hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain." That's a powerful verse. Because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. Isn't the hope of Israel was the promised Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. That he's saying, hey, he wants to speak. He wants to witness to these guys. He says, I'm here because of Jesus, because of the hope of Israel. I know him. His name is Jesus. And they said to him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here have reported or spoken evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are with regards to this sect we know is everywhere it is spoken against." When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them. So that's systematically going through the scriptures, the references, where Jesus is. They would have known the scriptures. There is a place for expository teaching. These guys know the word, but they don't know the truth. They know the word, but they don't know the truth. So he takes them through, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. See, there is that place for argument, and some of them would have got it, but of course, there's no substitute for encounter, isn't it? We all need to encounter, and even when our head is convinced, our heart needs to follow. And I've got friends who took a long time for their head to mentally assent to the truth of the gospel, because if you really look at it, you can't argue with truth. You can skirt away from it, avoid it, but when you really seriously look at it, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the heart follows. Some of them accept, some of them reject. So we see this continuing roller coaster that we see with Paul, isn't it? The revival stroke riot. So the Holy Spirit, and then he gives them a kind of a stern talking to, a little bit like Jesus outside of Jerusalem. So some were convinced by what he said, verse 24, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers, through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. That's powerful scripture from Isaiah. You know, and Lord, would we be people that have open eyes, open hearts? You know, let's not be cold-hearted. Let's not hear, because and that's the thing. Heal. We need healing, guys. We all need healing. The biggest miracle is that healing of the heart, isn't it? Is the transformation of a life. So we need physical healing. We need spiritual healing, and that's why Jesus came, to heal us.
Verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.
Praise God. That's us. Everyone non-Jewish.
That's us. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And then turn the page. Oh, that's it. No more. But the rest is still unwritten. This is a positive place Paul is in. These are positive words, aren't they? Unhindered. He's staying there at his own expense. Clearly, there is more. Hey, maybe Theophilus wanted volume 3, because remember, Luke wrote, he was commissioned, wasn't he? He wrote his gospel and Acts to this Theophilus character. Maybe he was waiting for the check. Or I suspect Paul probably got so busy, you know, continuing with Paul. And again, I'm not going to speculate too much, but there's lots of evidence that suggests that he was released and that there was a fourth missionary journey, which makes sense when we look at 1 and 2 Timothy. But some things to stand out there. Verse 28, you know, 28 chapters, the 28th verse, you know, again, the verses are just man after, but that whole thing, the gospel goes forward, you know, the Gentiles, it's going out, it's going forward, that's us. And then that whole thing, verse 31, what is he proclaiming? He's not just preaching salvation. Does it say he's telling people about salvation and do the sinner's prayer? No. What is he saying? Proclaiming the kingdom of God. And you know what? There is no more time that we need the kingdom of God now. We desperately need God's rule and reign. Starts in our lives, doesn't it? Starts in my relationship, starts in my family. But the world out there, you know, yes, we do need medicines, we do need vaccines, but we will not get peace. We won't be able to sort out some of these issues. Only God can heal the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart, isn't it? And we can have debates and people can be philosophical, but when you turn the news on, it is very hard not to say there is a serious problem with mankind. You know, some of the stuff that, you know, we've heard about earlier. You know, what an awful thing for a surgeon to have his hand cut off, you know, because his brother was a translator. But in their worldview, that's okay. There has to be an absolute. Humanism is not going to get there. We're not going to work it all out Star Trek fashion, because there is this sin problem. The heart of man is above all things wicked. But the good news is, we know the answer. His name is Jesus. And we are charged, and that's why, you know, you can think, well, isn't the end? Where's the rest of the story? Well, we are it. We are the rest of the story. We are the continuation. We are those missionaries that God wants to send forward, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The title of this morning is The Rest is Still Unwritten. And I just wanted to share a little story. I'll try not to be too long. I'm sure my wife will give me a little kick under the table if it becomes boring or too timely, too time consuming. But I do this crazy sport. I do ultra running. It sounds fancy. It's basically like playing golf, but without a golf stick, and you just keep walking and running for a long, long time. So basically, it's like running, but along mountains and valleys, and it's wilderness. And for me, you know, people say, are you an extrovert or an introvert? God has given me a gift of talking and chatting, and sometimes the gift of shush. But actually, I recharge, believe it or not, I recharge. I'm actually an introvert. I need that headspace. I need that quiet to hear. I need that peace and quiet to hear those simple truths as I think about scripture. But of course, we're not called to live on a mountaintop. And even on our Christian walk, isn't it? We love the mountaintop, but there's no fruit in the mountaintop, is there? The fruit is in the valley. So sometimes we grow in the valley. It's in those painful situations. But there are those wonderful times when we just come up and get away, as it were. And for me, running is a part of that. And hey, maybe it helps me, keeps me a little bit calmer, using some of that energy. So
I'm training for a big race in September, early September, called the Dragon's Back Race. And of course, to train for, it's a ridiculous race. It's from North Wales to South Wales. It's a very big ask. Many hours, you know, and you really do, you can't go too slowly, otherwise you won't make the cutoff. So you really do need to kind of be jogging on the flats and running down the hills and walking up as fast as you can to make it. And you've got to do this for 6 days. It's tough. I love it. I like a challenge. And I'm really looking forward to it most of the time. I think my wife's not looking forward to it so much. So part of it is training. So I took a day and, you know, drive up to middle of nowhere, land somewhere not far from Aberystwyth, a random campsite, put my tent up, get up first. I leave my bike there. First thing next morning, drive to Dolgelli. So to start, you know, I was going to try and recce the route, as in do a section of the route. So to try and do most of day three in this case. So as I arrive, it's nearly 7 a.m. and I see somebody just starting to run up as I'm parking up. So I asked him, I said, are you doing the Dragon's Back race, recce? He says, yes. So I said, you never know, I might catch you up. Now, that, of course, incentivized me to get my bag and stuff really quickly, because I love being on my own. But you know what? When you're going on a really tough journey or when it's really hard, you know, there's something about having others with you, isn't there? There's something about having people with you. And honestly, I thought, this guy, this is a gift to me. This is like an angel, because he had a bright luminous shirt on, and I caught up with him. I worked hard to catch up with him. And he became like a pace setter for me. And he really pushed me and encouraged me, because trying to get through the mental barriers and am I able to do this? And am I trained enough? So just having someone to get me over the Cadaridris range and all across there, you know. So I must have followed this guy for nearly 3 hours. And for whatever reason, slow down a little bit. Because of course it's in us. We need to journey with others. We're not called to journey alone. And then we ended up spending the rest of the day doing this thing. And we had a real adventure. And a remarkable human being, his name's Simon, 37, and he's a surgeon. So he does all the knees and the hip operation. An incredible character, a remarkable man. Don't know how he has time to go running around mountains or be part-time in the army, but hey, it's amazing what people do. And for me, it was just such a privilege just to run with this man, talk, share. But of course, we get to gossip the gospel, isn't it? And the good news is I've got 10 hours. So I get to talk about life stories, we get to talk about purpose, we get to talk about some of those issues of time and our nation. But of course, you get to share the gospel and you get to live the gospel, you get to declare it. And there's three words when I think about our lives. Life is precious, this journey, the rest is still unwritten. We're all on a journey. As a missionary, we're all called to mission. We're all called, some of us, you know, that day I was a missionary with a backpack on. We're called to be a missionary. We're called to share this good news, like Paul was sharing. And when I think of life, I think about those three things: live, love, and leave. You know, have I lived? You know, when we look at our lives, have we really lived? John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. See, we see the devil at the minute, don't we? Killing and destroying. That's his mandate. He wants to ruin everything. But Jesus has come that we might have life and life abundantly. Have we lived? Have we really lived? Have we loved? Have we loved others? Have we had that privilege of investing in others? But also there's that legacy part, isn't there? There's that leave. Am I passing it on? Am I leaving it in others? Am I encouraging others? When my time on earth is done, what's my legacy? Life is finite. You know, I'm in that age where I'm noticing relatives get slower. I'm sure some of you have been through that phase, and you start to think, oh, that's unusual. And hey, I've got a good phone number for someone who does hips and knees now, so that's handy to know, isn't it? But life is finite on earth. Obviously, we're eternal beings. We are called for a long-term relationship with God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and there's all those powerful words, even in Live Divine, isn't it? When we go to heaven, when we be with him, that we have that hope. But whilst we are here, there's a purpose. If You know, one of my friends, late friends, Peter Washington, someone who I highly admire in the way that he lived his life. He shared his wealth. He used his wealth into others. He didn't. He invested. He believed in people. And he always said, if you've got a pulse, you've got a purpose. You know, lived. Are we living? Are we loving? See, kindness. See, I love this thing in Acts. Kindness is so key. Graham, have you got that photograph? Have you got that photograph that I sent you? Okay, what is this photograph about? So, of course, I'm having this chat with Simon, and we're having a great chat, great stuff about life. Now, I get some hot spots on my feet. Hot spot, you don't want to get a hot spot on your feet, because you don't want to get a blister, because your feet are the things that you need to be propelled. I need them to be propelling me for 12 to 14 hours a day for 6 days. Got to look after your feet. And I could feel a hot spot come in. So I said, Simon, there was a there and back little bump that needed to be tackled. I said, hey, you go and do that bit. I just need to sort my feet out. He told me that from his experience in the army, he told me about this wonder tape. It ought to be wonderful because it's like 15 pound a roll. And I didn't know anything other than I was going to sort it out with the stuff that I got. But I get to the sty, and what has he done? Can you see what he's done? He's left the scissors, the tape, and the Vaseline. Isn't that lovely? See, that's that doctor in there, isn't it? You can see, you know, despite all of the years of study and the countless hours, the 70 hours a week that he currently does, obviously there's something in him that loves to care for and to help people. Isn't that wonderful? So what a surprise as I'm coming to the sty to see those things, to put those things. And you know, guys, let's be kind. You can take that off now, Graham. Let's be kind to one another. I love it when people do those little things. And it's not about value, is it? It's about heart. It's Chris and Michelle giving people ice creams that have just had a busy time setting up their awning because they know the pain of that shared experience. There's those shared experiences, isn't it? And God has called us to a journey. There is a shared experience. Who are the we in our lives? Are we living with them? Are we doing stuff together? Is that shared experience? See, I would class Simon as a friend now, because when you spend 10 hours with someone, that's a long time. Does that make sense? And there's a connection. That's what happens in the army. That's what happens when you do these type of things. There's this shared experience. There's going through a shared adversity. But in the same way as Simon was kind to me, I'm sure I was kind to him. I know I was, because his taxi driver let him down. I was supposed to pick him up at 8 p.m. and I was able to help him with those things. And that's that iron sharpening iron. It's so important. That's why we really emphasize the importance of meeting in home groups. And if you're not part of a home group, say, I'd love to be a part. There's this journeying together. There's that ability to be kind and to receive kindness, to love one another. But also this legacy thing. What am I going to do? I don't know how long I've got left on this planet. My uncle is over from Northern Ireland visiting my mum, and we went up to Garonnant yesterday. And, you know, if you remember, my uncle, he was the elder statesman of the family, died last year. He must have been in his mid-90s. And his son sadly died within a year in his early 60s. You know, and my uncle had a faith. My cousin had not lived that way at all. And knowing, you know, that his time on the earth was coming to an end, we were able to be a bit more bold. And I was able to pray and share, and people were able to give him scriptures. And I really do trust that he made a commitment. And my uncle that was visiting my mum, you know, we were talking about the funeral and maybe Northern Ireland and burying ashes and those type of things. And he obviously had a burden. He's a man of faith. He had a burden about my cousin, Dennis, as it were. And he's saying, when Bill, last thing the Bill said to me, Chris, was pray for Dennis. And he said it with tears in his eye. And I don't know what the truth is. We don't know who's in and who's not and who's bowed the knee. But I just said, well, let me encourage you. I really do wonder if he didn't. I said, if someone's got opportunity to think about, you know, their arrangements, then I'm sure they've got opportunity to think about what's next. And I really do think, even going to his father's funeral, Dennis had the gospel. And the gospel is powerful. It's life-changing. And, you know, why do I say these things? Let's take a step back. What we've been looking at Acts, and what a journey. And I can't wait to hear some of your thoughts. And that heading, you know, the rest is still unwritten. We are still here. God has got a purpose for us. God wants us to live and live a life abundantly. Our life should be so full and attractive. People should say, what is different about you? And we can tell them why. We should be people that love, that are kind. You know, what can I do today? What can you do today? See, let's just talk about these things. What can I actually do? Hear these words. Anyone who hears these words and puts them into practice is like the wise builder who builds his house on the rock. We've seen, sadly, in Turkey, what happens when you build your house on sand. We don't need to hear the words. We need to do them. So what can I do today? What am I going to do today to be kind to someone, to show love in action? And what am I doing? Who are the we in my life? Who am I receiving from? But also, who am I inputting into? What's my legacy? Who am I passing on? Who am I investing in? Love, live, love, and leave, isn't it? And what are we doing there? And there is that song, and I'm going to read, and Natasha Bedingfield, some lyrics from a song. I won't close with it. That would be sacrilegious, wouldn't it? We could close with it as a finishing song. And it's a great song. If you don't know it, Google it afterwards. The rest is still unwritten. Staring at the blank page before you, open up the dirty window. Let the sun illuminate the words that you could not find. Reaching for something in the distance, so close you can almost taste it. Release your inhibitions. Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else can speak the words on your lips. Drench yourself in words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. Guys, today is where our book begins. We've got today. Today is the most important day of our lives. It's the only one that we've got. So let's live it. Let's love in it. And let's think legacy. Let's think, how can we make a difference? What can we leave? What can we put into others that's going to last for eternity? Bless you guys. Graham, let's just, as we just finished this last song, let's just minister and worship him as well for what he's done in our lives. Amen.